Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Mungenass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
We're going to get a real good game out of the Boston Bruins. They're going to be desperate for sure, and they're going to push. And, we talked about we have to match that desperation. And like I said, bring that momentum from game four to game five and, go play.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Tell the world I'm coming home. Let the rain wash away all the pain of yesterday. I know my kingdom awaits and they've forgiven.
Into Brusk over the line, looking for the trailer. It's there. They shoot it on and a save. Binnington, Krejci centering, slap shot on another save. Binnington, he's made 15 in the first.
We knew they were going to come hard, and first period was huge.
And now Braun near side at the line. Petrangelo gets it back to the goal. Centered backhander. They score. What a play! And Ryan O'Reilly gives the Blues a 1-0 lead. 55 seconds in.
This looks like the Ryan O'Reilly from November and December. The Ryan O'Reilly that's not only scoring points, but the stick checks, the pokes, keeping plays alive, and ultimately as well, his faceoff. They've been terrific here tonight again.
Perron into the circle, trying to center. They score! David Perron bounced it off the pad of Rask, and the St. Louis Blues take a 2-0 lead. 9:24 to go, third period of play. And here come the Bruins. They get it in. Corrali shooting, toe save. Binnington, Shen to the point. Chara holds it in. Bouncing puck gone, and Binnington the save.
This guy right here, Binner, I think played unbelievable in that first when we didn't really have our legs and we were kind of caught on our heels a bit. We were able to get through when they had some really great A chances and some huge saves, and we just hung on.
Bruins win it again. They slap it to the goal, glove save. Puck knocked loose. Steen has it. Steen will clear, and you can bring out the Zamboni. The St. Louis Blues have won game five. A 2-1 win in Boston, and the Blues will come home to game six. One win away from a Stanley Cup championship. The hardest win in franchise history coming up this weekend.
City's been waiting a long time for this. You can see the buzz around the city and driving to the game. It's pretty fun to see. You got the Cardinals guys up there too. And it's what the city's about, right? It's a great sports city, underrated sports city. In my opinion, fans are great. And they never give up on us all year. Didn't give up on us here in the playoffs. We've been down. They just keep on cheering, keep on supporting us. And we're putting on the best effort we can for them.
They're dancing on Market Street. They're bouncing on Clark Street. Hall of Fame Plaza. They're loud there too. And his crowd is taking a roof off Enterprise Center.
I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Open line on a Friday night. Chris Rebby with you on KMOX. It is the Friday, June 7th, 2019 edition of the program. What are you doing on Sunday? Happy to be with you until 8 o'clock tonight. Talking Blues in this 6 o'clock hour. Talking Cardinals Strike Zone, powered by Graybar in the 7 o'clock hour. Holy cow. Blues are coming home where they will have a chance to win the Stanley Cup on Sunday night in front of their home fans. Last night, 2-1 win over the Bruins. Just an incredible a display, I think, by the Blues. And, you know, more than anything, I think you appreciate, even with all of the things that have happened on the periphery of the last 12 hours or 18 hours, whatever, comments coming from Boston, you appreciate the way the Blues have gone about it. You appreciate the way the Blues have continued to get better. You appreciate how the Blues have put themselves in this position, because they've been down. They've had their backs against the wall. They've, you know, been in tough situations. And every single one of those spots has led them here. And that is coming back to Enterprise Center with a chance to win the Stanley Cup on Sunday night. Phone number is 436-7900, 314-436-7900, or 800-925-1120. Follow me on Twitter. Tweet me at CHRABE, CHRABE. Follow us at KMOX Sports. That's where you'll get breaking news, behind-the-scenes photos, and more. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Ben Boyd, executive producer of the program. Mike Anderson's my guy here in the KMOX studios. It is Sports Open Line. All right, my plan for the evening, Chris Kerber going to join me in about 10 minutes. Kerbs back from Boston. He will give us his thoughts on the game last night, on what he expects on Sunday, and also some of the comments being made by Boston and their head coach, Bruce Cassidy. Because he's not happy. He's not happy. 7 o'clock hour, we will get to some baseball. The Strike Zone powered by Graybar. Kyle McClellan's going to be with me. Randy Flores, the Cardinals director of scouting, will talk a little draft with us. And Michael Hall will join us from Cardinals Care. So that's what I've got. Chris Kerber here at about 6:30. Then some Cardinals in the 7 o'clock hour. Kyle McClellan, Randy Flores, and Michael Hall. Cardinals fall to the Cubs 3-1 today in Chicago. Yeah, just immediately. Bruce Cassidy got to the podium last night. It's just complaining about non-calls. And the Blues get away with the trip? Yeah, sure. But I really believe outside of a call or a non-call, and listen, we can play this game all day. Okay, the Bruins scored a power play goal this series with six men on the ice. Zdeno Chara slash, you know, the stick out of Bozak's hands when the Blues were on a power play and should have had a 5-on-3. Jordan Binnington had his stick slashed out of his hand last night, and Carl Gunnarsson made a save in the crease when Binnington's stick was in the corner. Like, we can play this game all day, keeping score. But I truly believe that what happened last night at the podium for Bruce Cassidy in the immediacy of that game made this a story, made this a thing. And now his players are going to have to answer to it, and they're going to have to answer to it here when they get in front of the St. Louis media. They're going to have to answer to it after the game on Sunday. If things don't go their way, they're going to have to continue to answer to those comments. And in that case, he's not doing his team any favors. Like Craig Berube, after the hand pass game, the team was all on the same page. We're not talking about this. Whatever they said behind closed doors, we're not talking about this. That's all they did. That's all they did. Also, Ivan Barbashev gets a one-game suspension for his hit. I wonder if they'll complain that that should have been two games. Let's take a call before we get to Curb. Steve, what's up, man?
I've got a son-in-law up in Boston. We go back and forth quite a bit. So last night after the game, I said, hey, now that you guys have a professional diving team, are you going to go synchronized swimming next?
I love it. That's like Curb's calling Essel Lindell on the Stars, Greg Louganis.
Yeah, well, and the other one was, at least we didn't deflate the pucks, right?
Yeah. Hey, New England, yeah, they got that going for them. That'd be tough to do.
Yeah. Tough to okay, do. Thanks.
Larry, thanks, man. Yeah, Ivan Barbashev, that's the other news of the afternoon. One-game suspension for his hit yesterday, which, you know, you hit the head, going to get suspended. Pretty black and white. So Barbashev will be sidelined one game, so he'll miss game six. and the Blues will have some options after the hit on Johansson. But again, I'm not going to keep score of what Marchand did or this or that. Or like, it's hockey. This happens. How many missed calls do you think there are over the course of a game? A lot. And I also think we get the benefit of replay and slowing things down frame by frame by frame. It happens in the heat of the moment. There are times that I think something's a penalty and you see it on replay. You're like, oh, okay, he just fell. Or you think that it's a ridiculous call and you look at it and you're like, okay, that's a call. Like, come on. Frame by frame by frame. Same thing we said after the hand pass game. Just move past it. You could be ticked off. I was more angry game five, the comeback in Winnipeg, when they had to kill off a delay of game and Joel Edmondson's puck was clearly deflected that went over the glass because it's black and white. All right, we're going to talk with Curbs next. It is Sports Open Line. The Blues are coming home to St. Louis, game six, Sunday night. The only place you can hear it right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line. Munganass pre-owned on South Limburg on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
Chris Kerber joins us. Blues back from Boston. All eyes on Sunday, where it'll be game six. The Stanley Cup will be in the house at Enterprise Center. Curbs, what's going on? I guess that's kind of a loaded question right now.
Oh, I'm having some fun with this, enjoying watching what the Blues are doing, and then and enjoying listening to the whining out of Boston. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, that was really something, right? Like, I think it just makes you even more, the last two series, just makes you even more appreciate the way the Blues and Craig Berube go about it, have gone about it, continue to go about it.
Well, what's such a joke is how lopsided the vision and stuff is, so... I'll tell you, it's one of those things where the Blues have just gone about their business. They've knocked the Bruins off their game. Bruins have to recover their game a little bit, and we'll see how the St. Louis Blues how they pull it off on Sunday, and if they can. And it's going to come down to the same kind of thing, whichever team executes better. And lately, it's been the Blues executing.
You know, I really feel like Bruce Cassidy, and I'm sure that was emotion last night getting the best of him. Maybe, I don't know, but doesn't really do his players any favors, because now that becomes a story for the next couple of days. For him, for the guys in the room, for the media. Simple that, you know, while fans still maybe grumbled about the hand pass, for instance, like, that was over from a media standpoint, because you knew guys said that night, not going to talk about it, move on. Craig Berube said, not going to talk about it, move on. He squashed it right there. You can say whatever you want behind closed doors, but that ended it right there.
Well, the funny part is Brad Marchand talking about, you know, a cheap shot. I mean, are you serious? If that's not the pot calling the kettle black, you know, I don't know what is. You got one of the biggest cheap shot artists in the game doing that. He should have been given an interference penalty for the low bridge hit on Vladimir Tarasenko, in my opinion. On top of that, where was Bruce Cassidy's comments about we're trying to get headshots and stuff out of the game when his own player decided to punch somebody in the face or in the back of the head with a sucker punch at the end of a game? So, you know, I put all that together, and Bruins are rattled a little bit. Listen, Chris, I'm telling you this. I didn't get this sense in any of the other series. When you listen to the teams, you listen to the media break down those other series, what have you. I didn't get this sense like I'm getting right now from the Boston Bruins side. And the sense that you're getting is just how, like how is it possible that the St. Louis Blues are playing with the Boston Bruins? And I'm going to tell you something. I mean, I think the Blues have done just a spectacular job, and those guys have actually, you know, it's like they almost forgot that there's a team in the Western Conference. I mean, Blues have really had a terrific series so far, I think.
Oh, they have, and I think the thing that has impressed me, and I won't say surprised because nothing surprises me about this team anymore, but the thing that has impressed me and continues to impress me is that in each series, they've gotten better as the series has gone on. I think they've gotten better and more adept at making adjustments as the series has gone on. And I think they play with more discipline, more confidence, and just all around are getting better through every series. And that, I think, says a lot considering how taxing the Stanley Cup playoffs are.
Well, they've made adjustments in every single series that have proven to be effective and very good for them. And some of these other teams have not been quite as fortunate with their adjustments. Now, if you look at the Boston Bruins, what's amazed me, they really didn't make any adjustments till maybe the second half of that last game. You know, and when they finally said, well, we got to try and get Charlie Coyle some more playing time, things along those kind of lines. So we'll see if they make some adjustments going into this next game. But the Blues have made good adjustments, and the Boston Bruins have not.
And adjustments period to period, too. Like, I think last night was a perfect example, Curbs, of, you know, the Blues needing to tighten some things up. Binnington, fantastic in the first period. But, you know, they were playing with fire a little bit, and there were some things to tighten up. And I just marvel at the ability of a coaching staff and a team. And, you know, you give credit to every team that gets to this point. But the coaching staff and a team to be able, in that situation, to come in, as emotional as it is, make adjustments, process them, and then execute them in game. Like, I think sometimes as fans, we don't realize how little time you have by the time you get into the room. You have some media obligations. You take some pads off. You do whatever you got to do, get a little food in you or whatever. Like, it's pretty remarkable to think about how they do that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, some of it has to be on the fly. And that's where the teams that have success, that make the right changes on the fly, that make the right in-game adjustments, they realize that one line is playing better against another line, and you'll go with it. And one of the signs that you could look at that is look at the ice time by the Blues defenseman. Look at how many times, really, since Craig Berube has taken over, Colton Parayko has led the team in ice time played. Then Alex Pietrangelo, and then Jay Bouwmeester. And believe it or not, it spread out pretty evenly. I mean, everybody was so high on Alex Pietrangelo in the 29 minutes that he played in the previous game, as they should be, right? Well, yeah, the last game, in game five, it was Jay Bouwmeester that led the team in ice time. So, I mean, it really is a balance and a feel for what you got going with the game.
Yeah, I think the third straight series now that the Blues' defensive depth is really proven to be an asset, whether it was the matchups with Dallas or Carlson clearly being compromised in game five and being out game six, or, you know, Zdeno Chara now and, you know, Greslick. Like clearly, the Blues have a luxury if they're able to, you know, get Bortuzzo in for Edmondson. The guys that they're scratching would be assets, I think, for some of these teams in the postseason.
No, you're exactly right. And what's even more amazing about that is when they put those guys in the lineup, they've produced in some way, shape, or form. I mean, you go look at what Robert Bortuzzo did. Huge shot block on the penalty kill. You know, Sanford gets in the lineup. He gets in the lineup because of the suspension to Sundquist. He plays so well, what's effective, they move him up to the second line, and he's got assists in three straight games. And what a magical assist that was for him in the last game, huh? I mean, between the legs pass to Ryan O'Reilly, just outstanding. So not only do they have the depth, but they're finding a way to get that depth in the lineup, and it's being impactful.
Yeah, to see Zanford come in and knowing what he's gone through personally this year and how long he went between playing, not just in the playoffs, but this year as well, to come back and be as effective as he's been over the last couple of games, to get that opportunity to stay in the lineup, that's remarkable. And it probably speaks to the way all the guys, Curbs, that aren't in the lineup go about their business and stay prepared, the way the coaching staff goes about it, the way the Black Aces go about it in practice. It just, I think it speaks to so many people, and then Zach ultimately has taken advantage of the opportunity.
Well, Chris, Zach looks like a different player to me. He looks like a player that progressed. The first few games of this postseason, when they were looking for him and that physicality and that physical play, and it just wasn't happening, they had to take him out of the lineup. He was getting knocked off the puck. He wasn't very effective against the Winnipeg Jets. It just didn't look good. And he rebounded really well while he was out of the lineup. He worked hard. But what's really happened is he's come in, and now they're having a hard time knocking him off the puck, and he's making plays with the puck, and he's proven to be a puck-controlling left winger on a second line, you know, with Ryan O'Reilly, who's had an MVP-caliber season. I mean, I think it's remarkable what Zach Sanford's doing in his return to the lineup.
Chris Kerber is with us for a couple more minutes on Sports Open Line. Again, Game 6 on Sunday night getting chills thinking about it, knowing, you know, what the environments have been like. And even like last night, it's incredible. We're doing post-game from the building, and people aren't leaving the stands. There's nothing going on after the game, but they played Gloria probably 5 or 6 times in a row, probably 20, 25 minutes till people started filing out of the building.
Yeah, they just want to be a part of it. You want to share it with people. You want to enjoy it. It's a run that most people have never seen before. And if they have seen it, the ones that did, you know, it's been so long since they did. Some of the ones that might be old enough to remember it the last time it happened, you know, we're just kids, and some of them are now elderly. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just a neat moment to share. And you know, who knows? You hope that this is the start of a run, maybe like the Chicago Blackhawks, maybe like the LA Kings, or like the Pittsburgh Penguins, whatever it may be. You hope that it's something like that, but you never know. You just never know. And that being the case, you got to enjoy it. You got to take it. Like, the Blues know that this thing isn't done yet. All they know is they have a series lead. They know they haven't won anything. And the Boston Bruins came back from down 3-2 against the Toronto Maple Leafs earlier in the playoffs and forced a game 7 and won game 7. So they know there's a ton of work still ahead, but you got to enjoy the ride while you're at it.
Well, and I was really struck last night by the comment that Chris Zimmerman made when you visited with him during the second intermission of our broadcast. That he said what? The feedback they got from the first watch party, the Sunday game 5 against San Jose, was that what? 70% of attendees had not been to a playoff game or a regular season game this year.
Yeah, pretty amazing. That's amazing.
And how cool to get that chance. I mean, it's a lot of money, and to be able to get in and be a part of it, be a part of the shared experience is fantastic.
No, that's the whole idea. And everything that the Blues are doing, you know, in the regular season, in the postseason, in the community, is to just create that connection and give people a chance to be a part of it. And these watch parties have been special, and it's a pretty neat stat when you see all those people involved with it.
Yeah, and I don't care if you're at Enterprise last night, or if you'll be there Sunday, or if you're at Ballpark Village, or if you're at a bar, or if in, you know, your lucky armchair on a group text with, you know, your family or your friends, like, it's about a shared experience. And I think the Blues and the Cardinals, you know, make everyone in this city, but especially the Blues, who have been waiting so long, make everyone in this city just feel a part of it. Everyone around the country, around the world, who are Blues fans, feel a part of it. And that's not always something that organizations are the best at doing.
No, and the fans have been terrific, and they deserve this kind of a run. You can see the passion. You can see how it grips a hold of the city, you know, and you just hope, you just sit back with all the hope in the world that the boys on the ice can pull this off and finish it off for everybody. First off, themselves, you know, to have the kind of season they did and fight and claw, come together the way they did as a team and create the kind of team they did, and then to go on this kind of run and all the ups and downs they've dealt with in this postseason, first off, you're happy for every single one of them. This is what they worked for. This is what they dream about when they're going to the rinks as kids. This is what they became pros for. This is what they trained, you know, in the off season, which is now 24. You know, there's no downtime, really. They're constantly training. This is what they do. So you're proud for them, and if they can pull it off. And then you're really thrilled for the fan base if they get to experience it with them. And I hope we do. I hope we never have to say after this series that the St. Louis Blues haven't won a Stanley Cup, because what a ride it will be, and what a moment for everybody if they can pull this off.
What's the coolest or most meaningful text or phone call you've gotten over the last month? I guess 2 months.
You know, that's a great question. I got a text from Gracie before last night's game that said, let's do this. You know, I get texts from my dad after every game, kind of breaking down the game and giving me his thoughts on the game. You know, my family's into it. I've got
I know the Kerber women get very fired up.
I've got some neat messages from brothers and sisters, too, and friends alike. You know, friends from Dayton, Washington, D.C., and you know, guys that live out in San Francisco. It's really been a whole heck of a lot of fun to go through with them all. And like I said, let's just hope that they can continue it and finish it.
Yeah, just the hockey community, especially knowing how hard these playoffs are, I think hockey fans everywhere really kind of understand that. And, you know, I was thinking last night, like, how cool this is to be a part of this and be watching these games with the Blues in it, because I'm not going to lie, that the last couple of years, while I've been around the team and been a part of the broadcasts with you, it can be hard to turn the games on after you get bounced from the playoffs.
Most of the times I don't watch it for a little while.
Yeah.
And that's the reality. A lot of times I don't watch it for a little while. It is, because you get so frustrated. So how cool would it be to be the one team left that won their last game of the year? I mean, that's the ultimate goal, and that's what's knocking on the door for them on Sunday.
All right, give folks an idea. I know things are going to be a little bit different downtown. Give folks an idea of what we expect on Sunday, not just in the game and pregame inside the building, but around the building, and what folks can expect if they're hoping to come downtown, Curbs.
There's still going to be a party outside, a watch party outside the building that you can get into. It's free. You'd have to go through security, but it is free. There will be that. You log on to stlouisblues.com/playoffs, and all the other festivities and everything going on are going to be there as well. Gates are still going to open 2 hours early, the party inside, the party outside. You'll have all the TV sets from the different networks working out there near the Hall of Fame Plaza. It'll just be a heck of a party there, so get on down early and enjoy it on Sunday.
All right, and I'm excited because in our broadcast, we're going to continue to have all sorts of great Blues alums come through. And, you know, it's been, for me, just selfishly such a treat to hear all of these guys talk about what this means to them, their experiences, why it was important for them to come back. Like, heck, Scotty Upshaw the other night, he might be the biggest Blues fan that was in the building the other night. Like, it's just, it's so great to have all these guys back and speak to why it's important to them. That's been really, really fun. I hope fans are enjoying that, and I'm looking forward to that on Sunday. We'll be on the air at 5 o'clock, and we'll be with you every step of the way all night.
You got it. We'll go to work. We'll do an extended pregame. We'll do extended postgame, and hopefully we will be partying for quite a while.
Yeah, hopefully lots of Joey Vitale finger guns up there in the booth after
exactly
goals.
Right.
Curbs, we'll see you tomorrow, man. Thanks so much.
Okay, Chris, have a great night.
Quick break, and we are back in a moment on your home for the Blues Stanley Cup Final Game 6. Game Wicks.
Welcome back to the Munganass St. Louis Honda Sports Open Line.
Munganass St. Louis Honda on South Lindbergh.
On America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I believe these officials are at this level because they've earned the right to be here, and you should be getting the best. But, I mean, the narrative changed after Game 3. There was a complaint or whatever put forth by the opposition, and it just seems to have changed everything.
Don't kill my vibe, Bruce Cassidy. Shh, what a clown. Thank you to Chris Kerbert. 7 o'clock hour coming up. Gonna get back to some Cardinals talk. Game 6 Sunday. What are you doing for the game? Tweet me, CHRABE. Mike Anderson in the house as well. Back in a moment.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.